the fuck is wrong with you, man? You'd rather die for some piece of shit that you don't even fucking know?
And three assholes laying into one guy where everybody else watches? And you want to know what's wrong with me? Yeah, I'd rather die. So bring it on!
Adventure? Excitement? A Jedi craves not these things.
Nice. Nice. Alright, well, in the meantime, this is Wednesday is for comics. This is the number one drunken degenerate podcast that can be found at this particular website.
It doesn't get any lower than this.
It doesn't get any lower than this. If you found us, welcome to the bottom of the internet. This
gives a whole new meaning to the bottom of the barrel.
We're dragging ass on the internet. This is the bottom of the internet. Welcome, come have a beer. It's kind of nice to enjoy the view upwards from down here. So get comfortable.
I'm gonna just unbutton my pants real quick just to get comfortable.
Oh, exactly, exactly. Whoa! We got a little jerk off session going here. What's going on over there?
Whoa! It's not jerking off. That was one of my fish fell out of its aquarium, and it's just flapping on the floor. Okay.
You can't use that excuse every time, Hondro. You've only got actually you don't even have any. Whoa.
I've never used that excuse before. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, but you're on warning.
It's a flapping fish. Let it go.
We got a very special episode of Wednesday is for Comics this week. We have a distinguished guest. Someone
distinguished.
Distinguished. He's a gentleman. Someone who is both sexually exciting but also interesting.
I think there's a buzz out there about our guest this week. But he is also a Richmond University of graduate. And he's out there right now. Greg, introduce yourself.
Hey, everybody. Greg Franklin here. Long-time listener. First-time guest. I'm glad to be here.
Well,
I teach you all my notes tonight, so sit down and take it all in.
Greg's gonna teach us a lot. We're excited. He's a man of leisure, but he's also a man of knowledge and great insight. So I think this is going to be a particularly insightful podcast. I, for one, am extremely excited about it. Greg, as you know, we start each show with what's called a drink roll call, which is a tribute to all things alcohol, which is currently being consumed. And Greg, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking a Klein American Classic Pale Ale by the title of Doggy Style, named after a Klein American physician. It's made by Klein Dog. And it's quite delicious.
Is it truly named after his dogness, his doggy styleness?
I'll read the side.
You gotta love a beer that has a little story on the mark. By the way, Greg is calling. Greg is on the line here via cell phone, so that slight distortion you hear is courtesy of Greg. Who's your cell phone provider?
Verizon Wireless.
Ooh, the distortion tonight is brought to you by Verizon Wireless.
We never stop distorting for you.
And Hondro, how about yourself? What are you drinking tonight, buddy?
Well, I am drinking some delicious American beer by the Old Dominion Brewing Company, known as Dominion Ale, English Style Ale. And, you know, I'm a man that likes to contribute to the local microbreweries, and little did I know that Dominion is actually finds its roots in Ashburn, Virginia. So there's a little known fact for you.
Wow, that is what's called a fun fact. I'll share that at parties. Thank you.
Now, what I don't understand is that it also says that the company is in Dover, Delaware. So
it's for a corporate tax. You as an accountant should know that.
I should know that. You're right. And the fact that I drink makes me forget such things. But you are 100% correct.
Well, the
brewery may actually be in Ashburn, Virginia, where it was founded. These corporate geniuses, you know, they put their companies into Delaware, where there's basically no tax, for a corporation? Something like that, Greg?
Sure, sounds great.
Anyways, moving onward, this beer is delicious. It's hoppy, but not too hoppy. It goes down smoothly.
Adolescent rabbit, sorry.
Yes, exactly. Adolescent rabbits. And it's of the English style. So, you know, those English have been drinking beer for a millennia.
Yeah.
So it's pretty damn good.
The English are accomplished beer drinkers. I commend them. And I'm proud to have some English blood.
If she wants to dance and drink all night, well, there's no one that can stop her.
Should finish the podcast. Meanwhile, I am drinking what is called Humming Ale by Anchor Steam Brewing, which you may be familiar, Sierra Nevada being their signature drink. This Humming Ale, in their signature line, it tastes very much to me like an Oktoberfest. Very, very much a hoppy fall type, harvest type of ale. English-style ale, obviously, though it is brewed in San Francisco. Big fan, and there is a little story on the label that's describing how the word humming was actually used in ancient times, doesn't get into specific there, but ancient times, to describe both ales and beers. So really just any type of fermented ale, I guess. Humming ale. Extremely good. I highly recommend you buy some at your local grocer or liquor distributor. Good stuff. Good times.
No.
No.
I will not.
Or not. You know.
Yes.
Whatever it may be. We are here, though, to talk movies. Obviously, we're here to drink. This is an excuse to drink. But we use talking movies as an excuse to facilitate a debilitating habit that I think we all have.
Debilitating to pussies, maybe.
Wow.
And no offense to pussies. Anyways, moving onwards. Sorry about that.
No, it's all good. This is gonna be our summer movies episode. Not necessarily movies that hit the theaters this summer, but movies that we ourselves have seen this summer. In my case, particularly movies that have come out this summer. I don't know, maybe you guys have hit the old Netflix queue.
Don't know if I'll make it through this winter without you by my side. I waited for you so long while I traveled far and wide. Convinced myself there's no one better, so how could I deny your love? It's like a thorn into my side.
I think we should start with our distinguished guest, Gregory Franklin. Greg, what movies have impressed you most this summer?
Where to start? It's hard to skip Inception. I mean, that's the only one I've seen in the theaters this summer. So.
Wow.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one. Hondo's shaking his head over there. I don't know. He apparently doesn't approve. But
I just haven't seen it yet.
Oh, man. What a movie.
Well, we'll leave that on the back burner then. I don't want to ruin anything.
Well, Greg, give... Greg, just explain your feelings without giving too much content away. Your feelings going out of that movie and your thought process now that it's had time to kind of marinate a little bit as after you've seen it.
All right, well, we'll start with my feelings going into the movie. I've always had Leonardo DiCaprio, and what you can't say a bad thing about the guy, right? Except for Titanic and maybe Romeo and Juliet. I went in with good expectations, pretty high expectations.
Well, preface here, Greg has posters of Leonardo DiCaprio all over his walls, so I can attest to his strong feelings about this. Go on.
No, they were in the room when I moved in. I didn't take the time to take them down.
Well, you know, the key factor here being he didn't take them down.
It was unfeeling.
No, go on, Greg. I'm sorry to interrupt. Go on.
It's hard to take things. I mean, you know, we don't want Greg to break his neck, you know, getting up on a ladder and removing things from the ceiling. I mean, what kind of friend are you?
No one wants that. I mean, I don't know, though. Yeah. They're kind of arm level. You know what? Let's get past this. Greg, how did you feel leaving the theater?
Leaving the theaters, I was kind of amazed that they could blow my mind quite like that. There was a lot going on in that movie. It was, there were like four or five different levels of confusion going on at the same time. It kept you interested, kept you focused, and it was exciting throughout the whole thing. It was cool. Good movie overall.
That's I would share, and this was a movie I was hoping to talk about too, but I'll say it now. Leaving the theater after seeing that movie, if you experienced it as I and apparently Greg did as well, and I think it would take a very jaded, cynical individual to not leave that movie without being incredibly impressed and having your mind blown, because it was something else, and I personally think it was brilliant. I think it's hard to have a better experience at the theater, because not only is it a brilliantly acted, brilliantly scripted, just incredibly directed, well-made film, but it's also one that lends itself to discussion afterwards. And again, don't want to give too much away for Hondro here, but it's a movie that can be interpreted in different ways, and it's almost impossible to leave that movie without discussing it afterwards. You feel almost like you have to, because everybody kind of develops their own ideas, and those ideas are expounded upon when you talk to others. It's just an incredible movie. I don't think I can give a higher compliment to a movie than to say that it's a conversation film. It's a movie you very much want to discuss with your friends and enjoy all the way through, but part of the experience is those discussions you have after actually seeing it.
Yeah, it'll lead to quite a few discussions you have to talk to for a while with your friends to figure it all out.
We could be having such discussions right now if Hondro would, I don't know. What have you been doing that's prevented you from seeing this movie, Hondro?
Ah, damn it, I've just had so many things going to Lollapalooza, working and whatnot since... I'm one of the only guys out of our group of friends that actually has
picking fish off the floor.
Fish off the floor. Come on, they're always falling out of the aquarium. But that's neither here nor there.
But Hondro, I do want to hear from your side of things. What movies have captivated you this summer?
Oh well, as I was mentioning to Greg earlier, I have not had the good fortune of going to watch Inception or a number of movies that I would have liked to watch simply because I haven't had the time to go to the theaters. And I'd like to make a point here. all the good movies come out during the summer. Why? Because all of the students are coming out of school, and this is the time where,
May I interject for one moment?
Yes.
You said all of the good movies. I would.
All right. Let me take that back.
All right.
A lot of the blockbusters come out during the summer.
Okay. The highest budgeted films.
Highest budgeted films.
Yeah. Not necessarily good movies.
Gosh, you guys are so technical. Yes, you're right.
Hey, man. This is an analytical breakdown of the whole movie.
You're right. I take it back.
All the stuff.
A lot of the high budgeted movies. But that includes a lot of the movies that I was looking forward to watching, such as Iron Man 2, and we all know that Thor and the Avengers will come out during the summer. It's just one of the highest budgeted movies, the most popular ones, at least in terms of, right. with the most potential to gross income. Yeah.
And by the way, a slight interjection there as well, I hope to have an entire episode discussing what these Marvel films are doing in creating a shared universe, which is completely unprecedented in the film industry. To have these blockbuster films all set in the same universe and interlapping with one another. I'd like to have a discussion about that, but now's not the time. Andro, continue.
All right. So that being said, it makes me very upset that this happens because us working professionals, we have a lot more time to go watch movies during the winter, wouldn't you say? I mean, when we don't have to sacrifice between, oh, okay, I've been working 12 hours today now. Do I go to the beach this weekend, or do I go check out some movies at the theater? I'm going to say probably go...
I'd say go definitely to the beach, yeah.
Yeah, the beach. Someone down to put it to myself. If this life is my head, then what we're going to do well. And if there's nothing at all, then only time will tell. So I try to make money with them drugs that I sell. They try to put me in jail, the police find me. Can't spend 2 hours in life, but no, I got to be free. You know they're drinking. So, anyways, that being said, I've only gone to the movies about 3 or 4 times this summer, but I will say this, the movie that I have watched, I was happy with. I watched Predators. Awesome. Great, great movie. I saw Kick-Ass.
Hey, now.
Freaking awesome. I'm gonna keep talking about that in a second. What else did I see? I saw... John, remind me. What else did I see?
I don't know. I mean... Apparently a lot of
Shutter time. Island. Shutter Island was freaking awesome. Another
movie that did summer.
Well, it was late spring / early summer, so it counts.
Hey, can you guys be quiet for 1 second? Hold on. I'm switching over to Bud Light. I've had a few humming ales, and I'm now reaching the Bud Light segment because I am out of good beer.
Greg and I actually have an excess of good beer. Greg brought a nice 6-pack of the Flying Dog Ale he was describing earlier, and I happen to also have another 6-pack of the Dominion I was talking about another 4-pack of Boddington's English Pub Ale.
Ooh, yeah, and I noticed that our backup is the Heineken that I appeared a few weeks ago, so
yeah.
We're sitting pretty over here.
Fucking A. You know, I'm jealous. Anyways, what were we talking about?
You gotta give Leonardo DiCaprio some credit, because I think his career dates back to What's Eating Gilbert Grape, and then he was the pretty boy in Titanic. And up until Titanic, I always thought, this kid has no real talent. He's simply the pretty boy in the big motion picture. But he's made some amazing movies, and every time I see that his real talent as an actor has really come to flower. Look at the movie The Departed. Awesome movie. DiCaprio plays basically the anti-hero. He's just he's the opposite of a hero in that movie.
Well, you know what he seems to do, not only is he a truly good actor, but he must be great on set, because distinguished filmmakers like Scorsese and The Departed keep using him. He must be great to work with from a creator perspective.
He must be like a ball of clay. He just flexes and bends to the whims of his directors.
Greg probably hopes that's the case. And he hopes that he would be malleable to the desires of Gregory Franklin, which, as hey, if any of you have been on Greg's blog, is just sick. we're gonna get some Gregory Franklin back on here, and he can talk some more about Leo. We'll be back in a minute.
Probably 14, 15 years old. The only reason he didn't get recognition is because he went full retard. And like we learned from Tropic Thunder, you don't go full retard.
You don't go
full
retard. You never go full retard.
I mean, his performance, though, hands down, well, I'm not going to go that far. It was good. Good performance. And throughout his career, he's had a good one. So, we'll leave it at that.
Let's leave it at that. How about all right, Shutter Island. I have to admit, I have not seen Shutter Island, and I know that's a problem. And I am working.
Ooh, John's a little scared.
I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
All right. Well, since I can't talk about Shutter Island, let me talk about one movie. Because I do believe we each get to talk about one, don't we?
That's true. Or
well,
more. Or
one
more.
Movie that I saw this summer, though, was not a summer blockbuster by any means. It didn't even come out this summer. I believe it came out last year. Was Moon.
Oh,
good one.
It's probably one of the best science fiction movies to come out within the past 10 years.
I mean, I think it's a movie, and we've talked about this before, but movies appreciate with age, and it takes,
I think it's the best science fiction movie of the last 300 years.
Of the last, roughly, depending on what system you live in, what nebula you live in.
Time, such a trivial concept.
Exactly.
But anyways,
no, go on, Hondro. Talk about Moon. That's a great movie.
First off, okay, since we were talking about protagonists before, let's talk about Sam Rockwell.
Boom.
Sam Rockwell was freaking amazing in that movie. He made that movie. I mean, he was the only actual, you know, character in the whole movie, unless you count Kevin Spacey's voice. But so his performance was phenomenal. He carried the entire movie. A movie where you only have one character, you'd better have a damn good actor. And Sam Rockwell had a stellar performance.
Oh, they got it.
Yeah.
And each Sam Rockwell in that movie, and I won't go into too much detail, but each portrayal of that specific character that he gave, of which there were several, was slightly distinct. And I think that goes to show you that there are distinctions, and it's a movie that I really don't want to give too much away, because this is a movie that's best viewed without knowing what's going on behind it. But long story short is
we can't say.
Okay, go ahead.
I was going to say was that it touches on some key issues that the old school science fiction movies would touch on, and there's definitely morality and moral issues that we'll be facing in the future as we start to get more and more technology and the ability to do different things. Just because we're able to do them, should we do them? I'm going to leave it there. I don't want to give too much away.
No.
But I like the fact that that movie touched a concept like that. And the fact that watching the movie, the entire time I was thinking, did Isaac Asimov, who is debatably the grandfather of science fiction, did he write the script?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
well, you know, the Foundation, if for anybody who's interested in actually reading science fiction novels, Asimov wrote a book called Foundation, which is a seminal work. Actually, an entire series of several novels. I highly couldn't possibly recommend a series of novels more than Foundation. And you're absolutely right, Hondro. It is classic sci-fi. It has something to say, which is what, you know, truly great science fiction has something to say, and it mirrors the trends of current society. It's not futuristic and crazy for the sake of being so. It's trying to grab a hold of a very relevant or potentially relevant topic. And I think Moon is a perfect example of what science fiction can be and what it can say. And it is not as far-fetched as it may seem at surface level.
Agreed.
Denied. anyways, Go ahead, Greg. Slightly what? I want to hear what you're slightly talking about.
A slightly different path, but on the subject of Sam Rockwell, I saw a movie a couple of days ago. It was Sam Rockwell and Christopher Walken as his father in a movie called $5 a Day.
Wow.
About father and son traveling cross country, kind of looting their way across the country, and definitely worth a watch. Hilarity ensues. It was interesting.
Interesting, yeah. I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, it was one of the indie films on demand.
Wow.
I think it might not even be in theaters yet, if that might be the case.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm seeing more and more of that on like Netflix Instant Queue. You get these indie films that are available on Netflix Instant View before they even come out in theaters, which is interesting. I think this might be a sign of things to come, as theaters.
I just got that last week, and I'm fully impressed. It's amazing.
Oh yeah, it has potential, particularly in the winter, like we talked about. Has potential to suck your life away because you're dealing with thousands and thousands of movies that you can watch at a whim. It's for those movie enthusiasts.
You do live in Chicago, so the winters are pretty brutal.
Oh, by the way, yeah, winter in Chicago is fucked up. It's fucked up. You have to have a sense. It's no wonder that so many great comedians come from Chicago, because you have to have a sense of humor. You've got to have thick skin and a great sense of humor, or you're not going to make it.
Come on, skinny love, just let's see it. To pour a little salt we will never eat. My. Staring at the sink of water across the needle.
Sam Rockwell, Iron Man 2, which Hondro briefly talked about how he wanted to see it. I thought it was a great summer movie, but more specifically, Sam Rockwell played what is now, for me at least, a classic villain. And this is a complete counter to what he did in Moon, where you gravitated towards him. He was the emotional center of that movie, where you felt for this character. He played someone that you just absolutely despise, and he's brilliant. And he's brilliant in that movie. If you haven't seen it, go see it. Watch every scene he's in. They're by far the best scenes, and there's some good action scenes. Altogether, good movie. Also goes back to what Marvel's trying to do in this shared universe, interconnected movie concept, which is brilliant. Iron Man 2 is probably the groundwork for a lot of other movies they want to do, and in many ways worked more as a launch pad for other movies than it did as a movie itself. But that's another story.
Wait, I need to have a small interjection here.
Go on.
First of all, and it's a point that I think is very important. I think you forgot to make it before we move on from Iron Man 2. It's actually a question. Scarlett Johansson or Gwyneth Paltrow?
Scarlett.
John?
I don't even think there's any debate.
Now, John, I assume when you say there's no debate, you're choosing Scarlett Johansson. And this is coming from a guy, John Dudley, who has actually danced with Gwyneth Paltrow. So, obviously, there's no debate.
This is true.
Sorry, go ahead.
This is true. She's in fact a friend of my cousin's, and
whoa.
I at a wedding when I was about 14, I did in fact share a dance with Gwyneth Paltrow. I have photographic evidence to attest to this fact. And yes, I'm big fan of them both. But see the movie, and the decision is made.
Okay.
Yeah, just see that movie. There's I'm afraid there's no contest.
I knew there was no contest, but I just I had to put it out there.
There could be a whole nother podcast. You know what? There probably is.
there will be.
Or there will.
Okay, let's have a pilot episode.
They deserve
next
a podcast. Long story short, go see Iron Man 2, and if you have not, and you're confused as to what we're talking about, go see that movie, and you'll understand why a podcast is deserved. Not a podcast. I'm talking about a series, an entire run of podcasts. But that's neither here nor there. I'd like to move on. Iron Man 2, I thought, was a good movie. But the movie I most want to talk about, and unfortunately I believe neither of you have seen this, is, well, first of all, Kick-Ass. I think was brilliant. Hondra, I know you've seen that. I know you liked it. But I want to talk about the movie Scott Pilgrim.
Oh.
Scott. Ooh.
One that I prefer you didn't go too deep into, but go on.
I'm not going to get into the plot details, but for those who grew up in the Nintendo, Sega to Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis era, are gonna love the references throughout that movie. And for those who enjoy rock and roll, more particularly unadulterated badass rock and roll, find it in a synthesis of these things and throw in movie geek culture like we tend to discuss. Put it all together in a blender and what would come out is Scott Pilgrim versus the World. It is wholly unique. Even though I think it's relatable for such a huge number of people, which it truly attests to its brilliance, is it taps in to folks within their 20s, our age genre, everything we've grown up with and everything we just kind of geek out over, puts it all into a movie and creates an entirely new movie because of it. Long story short, just go see it. Brilliant movie. Kick-Ass, Hondra, I know you've seen. Kick-Ass is the perfect blend of comedy and action, which interweaves between both and throws drama in there as well brilliantly, is something else. Kick-Ass is a movie I think is not going to be for everybody, but for someone like myself who grew up, in fact, I've read the comic it was adapted from, I absolutely love that movie, and I'm appreciating it more and more with each viewing. It's a brilliantly directed, brilliantly acted, but it's the score of the film, which I guess his name is John... what's the composer's name?
John Murphy?
John Murphy, exactly. RoboCop. He shares the name of the cop who was... became a cyborg known as RoboCop.
But,
so that's how you know he's good.
Hey, I've had a great idea for a script, and we'll talk about this later, but how about a movie called...
Oh, this is good.
Hobo Cop. And it's about a...
Soul.
It's about a homeless man that becomes a policeman, but he never lets go of his homeless side to help fight crime.
I'm picturing Tracy Morgan in the lead role here.
Like it.
Sounds good.
Oh man, you're gonna make hundreds of dollars off this, Andre.
Billions of pennies.
Billions of pennies.
Well,
that is neither here nor there, but I am very excited. I was talking about Kick-Ass, which, Hondra, I know you've seen it. Son of a gun, that movie is good. There are parts of that movie that I find utterly and absolutely hilarious. Yet, I identify with the main character and identify with characters within the movie so much that when the action rackets up, I actually feel for the characters as well. And there's that emotional investment, usually associated with dramas and not comedies.
I want to hear, Greg, did you watch this movie?
Unfortunately, not yet.
Well, I definitely want to hear Greg's take on it when he does watch it. Going to the emotional investment of the movie, I think anybody that loves movies, it's, you know, at some point or another may not have been, how could you say, like, people that really love movies, I think, are emotional people, because... getting into a good movie, a really good movie, not necessarily a summer blockbuster, involves diving into a whole new world. It's like imagination. It's the new form of books.
Yeah,
I do agree with that. Well, however, there's also people who are very emotional people who just can't sit through an entire movie.
That's true. You know what it is though. It's not being an emotional person. It's someone who enjoys stories, and the key element to becoming attached to a story is finding an element of yourself within the story to attach yourself to.
Imagination.
And it's a high sense of empathy where you can put yourself in the shoes of whoever is going through the story. And the most successful stories are ones which can translate a sense of empathy for the protagonist or even the antagonist or any character within the story to which you become attached to in one form or another and care about. And I think people that have a high sense of empathy, that are willing to put themselves in someone else's shoes, are going to have a wider variety of film or book or any sort of story that they're willing to just give the time to truly invest themselves in.
Completely agree. Well, I felt a big connection with the protagonist in Kick-Ass, just because he's the comic book loving, you know, not fully accepted. He doesn't fall under the jocks or the popular kids. He's kind of like,
yeah, he doesn't fit into any specific. I mean, he's just kind of there and he's non-specific, and where he fits in, and just decides, you know what, I'm gonna go be a superhero, and he's really bad at it. And he gets the shit kicked out of him. But I'm not going to give too much plot detail away, but as the movie goes on, it gets a little bit more and more ridiculous as he's brought into this crazy world. And you do start to care for not just him, but other characters involved. And I think I brought this up a little bit earlier. In fact, I did. RoboCop himself, the composer, is... the key ingredient to that movie. He has a score for that film that's epic and heartfelt. It's an orchestral score, but he also includes some electronic elements, including an electric guitar. So it's like this rock and roll orchestra score that fits the movie perfectly, because the movie itself is such a cross-genre film that's kind of all over the map. And the score complements it so well that it kind of carries you along. And we could have an entire composer, score episode, but in that movie in particular, it's the perfect marriage between composer and in film and director.
I would also like to add the fact that Hit Girl stole the entire movie.
Absolutely.
And I'm thinking about Waiting for Her. I'm quoting one of the characters here, but I share his thoughts and feelings. I'm
sure.
Going to wait for Hit Girl until she is 18 and ready for me, and we're going to fall in love.
I've seen that movie several times now, and that's the scene at which every time I see it, I realize, holy shit, this is a brilliant, brilliant scene. Whether you're into the genre or not, the direction of that scene is something else.
Agreed.
Yeah. Andre, what's that noise, buddy? I hear something going on over there. That another fish jump out of the aquarium, Greg? Verification.
You know, I have jumping fish. That's how I like my fish. They tend to jump out of the side of the aquarium. I told you, just don't pay attention to it.
All right.
I left the room for 1 second, Andre. I'm like, look, what's this? This fish coming out of
the pan. Those flapping fish.
Whoa. Okay. Anyways, moving on. Andre, let's talk some music. More specifically, let's talk live music. What you got? What you got?
Well, obviously I'm gonna have to go into Lollapalooza, and
it's obvious.
I don't know how many of our listeners know, but I would like to say, instead of a newfound Christian, I'm a newborn musical follower.
Mm.
And
amen, brother.
Going to Lollapalooza was like finding Jesus for me.
Yeah.
And
Or Vishnu, or whoever it may be.
Vishnu, whoever it may be, you know, maybe, you know, if
Spider-Man.
You're Muhammad, Spider-Man if you're into comic books. But moving on. My point is that Lollapalooza was the most amazing musical experience of my entire life, and I feel the need to talk about it. Awesome performances I saw. One of my new favorite bands, Matt and Kim.
Ooh,
which
man.
Oh, they were awesome. They were full of energy. They were smiling the entire time. They were authentically happy to be there with the crowd.
I would say Matt and Kim is a very good recorded band, but a 5-star, absolutely badass live band.
Completely agree.
Oh, yeah.
Because you sense the energy. Like, I was feeding off their energy. They were so psyched to be there. And, what can I say? I had a great time just watching them. I wanted to jump on stage with them, and I've never really felt like that before. Anyways, some other bands that I saw. Metric was un-fucking-believable.
Oh, yeah.
Probably another one of the best live performances I've ever seen.
Absolutely.
And the lead singer is hot as hell. What's her name?
Emily Hayes.
Emily Hayes, and she writes all her music.
Oh, yeah.
And if you ever listen to her lyrics, you'll realize that not only is she extremely sexy, but extremely intelligent and insightful.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people have trouble, a lot of guys in particular, have trouble getting past the whole female lead singer thing. I think there is a double standard involved where it's somewhat difficult for guys to get behind a band with a female-led singer. Which is completely and absolutely ridiculous. And give the band Metric, particularly the album Fantasies, which Chondro in an earlier episode said was one of his favorite albums, and I have to agree. Give that album a chance. And also give the movie Scott Pilgrim a chance, because there's a lot of Metric music in that movie, and it's damn good.
And Kick-Ass.
And watch Kick-Ass. Because that movie's awesome. Greg, I know you weren't at Lollapalooza, regrettably. You've been there before, but I want to hear about some of the music you've been listening to this summer.
Let's see.
I think the internet wants to know.
I've been listening to for a long time, and I never hear anybody talk about them. A band called Bookerville River out of Austin, Texas, who are awesome. Their latest album, at least the latest one I have, I believe it's their latest one. It's called The Stand-Ins, and it's an excellent album. I think everybody should check it out. Chondro, John, have you guys heard him at all?
I've never even heard of the band, no.
I haven't had the chance.
John, actually, I saw them with you at Lollapalooza 3 years ago, but
oh, great.
I don't think you were paying much attention. I think you were in line getting a boot-shaped glass of wine.
So but, sounds about right, band, dude.
Shoot that boot! Shoot that boot! That's boot!
Watch out for the bubble, though.
Oh, that's the key. You gotta turn it at just the right time. Beerfest, go. Go ahead, Greg.
That's a great band. Another one I've been checking out, let's see. Wow, I just drew a complete blank. Let's talk about some bands that you guys might have seen at Lollapalooza that I have not had a chance to see. Anybody see Blitzen Trapper? I've been listening to them for quite a while now.
I did, you know, quite unfortunately, they played on Sunday at about noon or 1, and it was approximately 95 degrees, but felt closer to 110. And we quite obviously were at a hungover stage that's almost hard to describe. That was after 3 days of solid drinking. We, during Blitzen Trapper, were in the shade under the trees, just kind of moaning. Just kind of moaning and like, woe is me, like, not really holding up very well.
Do you remember who you listened to while you were sitting there moaning?
Oh, no, we could hear, Blitzen Trapper was the closest band, and we could hear them, and it was pleasant. But it would be unfair, it would be absolutely unfair to say that we've seen them and experienced what their concert would be.
I remember that time of Lollapalooza, you know, you get that feeling where you just have to lay down somewhere.
It happens.
And ambient music, which is nice to hear.
Yeah, it was exactly that. It was nice to hear, but to say that we experienced Blitzen Trapper live would be absolutely disingenuous.
Okay. Another band, definitely worth checking out. What Made Milwaukee Famous is a fantastic little band. I heard them years ago, 3 years ago I saw them live. And they just put out a new album last year. And
so Beast is not what made Milwaukee Famous.
They're awesome.
Oh.
Okay.
I said, so Beast is not what made Milwaukee Famous after all.
Yes, I think it was the Beast. It did.
It was the Beast. So it's a Beast tribute band.
So they're, by the way, also out of Austin, Texas, who produces pretty much all the badass music these days, as far as cities go.
Son of a bitch.
Don't you dare say that. Never say that again.
Please. I mean, I'm not sticking by this in that all awesome bands come from Texas. There's a lot of other ones, but Austin has some great bands. Spoon included.
Okay.
Well,
so John, what did you personally think was amazing Lollapalooza? I want to hear your take on the best bands. And,
you know, I'd go back to Metric as well. Metric was the band that they certainly were the best non-headliner band, and the headliners had the added benefit of the, you know, first of all, it being nighttime and the light show, which is hugely beneficial for a show as far as atmosphere is concerned. But Metric felt like a headliner, even though it didn't have the insanely huge crowd and that whole light show presence, it had the rock and roll vibe, and it, like Hanjo was saying before, it just had this kind of epic feel to it, and the music itself is, lends itself to a big, you know, 30,000 plus show. It just translates well. Oh, we got another fish on the ground. We got another fish on the ground. Or not. Hanjo, what the fuck, dude?
It was the fish.
It was the fish.
Go on, keep going. I don't stop.
But, no, Metric was great.
You were talking to the fish, actually.
I would say Metric was up there, but also Arcade Fire, which I've always loved as a band. I've always truly appreciated their music. But seeing them live kind of cemented the deal for me. It was when I realized...
I agree. I watched a live video of them at Austin City Limits a few weeks ago, and it wasn't fantastic. Not as good as the CD. Yeah.
Really? No, oh, no, I disagree then. No, seeing them live was brilliant.
I thought you said seeing them live wasn't good.
Oh, fuck, no, dude. No.
Arcade Fire?
Arcade Fire Live.
They're the fucking best.
They rocked the shit.
I saw them live on a DVD.
Okay, that officially does not count. And Greg, I'm gonna delete you from the podcast, and you will never be a guest again.
I was saying it's not like official or anything, but from what I saw there, it wasn't a good presentation.
No, live crowd interaction was a huge part of that show. To the point where there were parts of and almost entire songs where humming along and singing along with the crowd was such a huge part of the show, and I don't think that would translate well to a DVD.
Okay.
It was a communal experience, and the band clearly knew when to lay off and allow the crowd to be a part of it and when to, you know, take the reins themselves. But they were brilliant musically, the crowd was into it perfectly. And there were points where it was just an absolutely, just a transcendent communal experience where everybody was singing, and it was, I mean, it was really beautiful. I don't want to get too emotional here, but I mean, it was like, you know, hairs on the edge of your neck. Edge of your neck.
I asked Hanjo a couple weeks ago, did they play the song Keep the Car Running? And he had no idea.
A lot of people just don't pay attention to the titles of songs, but no, they did not play that song.
Ah, such a good one.
Well, they have a lot of good songs, man.
I'll tell you an amazing song that they played, and this is probably the song that really shot them up to like an international level, and to the point that now their soundtrack, I'm sorry, not their soundtrack, but their latest album is number one in the country. I don't know if you knew that, but the song Wake Up, which featured in the trailer for Where the Wild Things Are.
It's funny. That's an interesting cultural phenomenon. That's an interesting thing to mention, that you're absolutely right. Having this...
That was from Where the Wild Things Are. Interesting.
Right. No, it wasn't in the movie. It was just in the trailer. But to have this trailer that was a very highly revered trailer feature this music, is what sent the Arcade Fire from being a, you know, popular, somewhat indie level band into the mainstream status.
Yeah, and now their album is the number one selling album in America. And honestly, I never heard of Arcade Fire before. When I heard that song in that trailer, I had to know what it was. I looked them up, and since then I've downloaded every album of theirs.
Well, that was an interesting situation where, thematically, you know, the song's themes were perfectly married to the themes of the film, and the trailer translated that so well that, you know, especially after seeing that movie, you can't dissociate the two. And it's an anthem quality song that now, and particularly seeing it Lollapalooza, I will never forget the experience of seeing that song live. It was, in fact, the very last song of Lollapalooza for those who saw Arcade Fire that evening.
And 50,000 people hummed to the same song at the same time.
Yeah, we were humming along to the chorus at the same time, and it was this incredible communal experience where everyone had experienced this epic festival for 3 days and was completely spent, but we were just enjoying the hell out of this song and singing along, and it was incredible. And I think for me, Arcade Fire, whatever they do in the future, I'll always remember them. That'll be a time capsule for me, just the memories of that concert. I couldn't be happier with the band right now. Their latest album's awesome too, so loving Arcade Fire right now. There's gonna be a huge backlash because they've become so popular so quickly that the backlash is inevitable, but it's completely unwarranted in my eyes.
Agreed.
I agree too.
So we're all in agreement.
You can verify this. After time's both feet, I've actually got tears. That was beautiful.
Oh my god, he really does. Oh. There's pollen in the room.
I'm just gonna replay Greg crying.
They don't keep anything out.
They don't. The internet, dude. We're at the bottom of the internet right now, buddy.
The bottom of the barrel.
Welcome to the sewer of the internet. This is where we hang out.
Good view, though.
Oh, the view. Looking up from here. It's breathtaking.
I like the term underbelly, too. Underbelly of the internet.
Any takers? I could take it. But, you know, as of now, the official mission statement of Wednesday is for Comics. Our mission is that we aggressively don't have one, and we drink beer while we don't. It's fucking ruined.
I thought it was to be the best podcast on this website.
No. Before Hondro very, very pointedly interrupted me, I was saying our mission statement is to aggressively not have one, and to drink beer while we don't. I think it's succinct.
Clink.
Clink. Clink. Well, tell you what, guys. I don't know how you guys feel, but I think we've done well tonight.
We've completed our mission. Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished, except for the fucking editing.
God, you better. First off, you better save this fucking podcast.
Oh shit!
Yeah, don't delete this shit.
Wow. All right, hold on. I'm gonna pause real quick. So, I think it's turned out pretty well. I'm pleased. I'm very aroused, which is strange, but not that strange.
Greg, come over here and talk into my microphone.
Hydro, put your fish away.
Damn it. Sounds like we've got another fish on the ground over there at the Hondro residence.
Oh, it's not on the ground. It's in the air.
He's flipping it in the air like 25 times a minute.
Safari fish.
Son of a bitch. All right, you guys. I think this has been a good podcast.
Hey! There's a dude dressed like a superhero there fighting a bunch of guys. It's fucking awesome! Who are you? I'm Kick-Ass.
Super.